Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God, episode 48, Let Us Love. And today we're going to be looking at the person and the writings of John. Now, John was one of the original apostles of Jesus Christ, and we're going to look a little bit more in depth into what was his calling card, what was he best known for. So before we get started, I want to ask you, what do you stand for? What are you known as? What kind of stands out to others when they think about you? My church, Tallawood Baptist Church on the west side of Houston, Texas, recently went and talked to a professional who was dealing with, you know, what are you known for? And he asked some leaders at our church, what are you as a church known for? And is that what you want to be known for? And so that made them sort of stop and think and kind of focus in on what was the most important thing. So I had a business mentor of mine a number of years ago who used to emphasize that on a tombstone, there were two dates over which you had little or no control, the date of your birth and the date of your death. And then there was a dash in between those two. And that dash represented everything for your entire life. That represented what your life would stand for. And you're the only one that can determine what your dash really meant. Now, for John, the person who wrote a significant portion of our New Testament, not only did he write the Gospel of John, he also wrote three letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then he wrote the wrap-up to all of Scripture, and that is the book of Revelation. So let's take a look at John here for a moment. First of all, as I mentioned, we are introduced originally to John as being a disciple of John the Baptist, who left John the Baptist and joined Jesus. And so he left along with Peter and Andrew and James. And he was nicknamed one of the sons of thunder along with his brother. And he was obviously... he had this sort of tradition as of being a hothead, getting that name, Sons of Thunder, when he wanted to call down fire and, you know, destroy a town that wasn't being receptive to Jesus. John, as well as James and Peter, were one of sort of the inner circle a little bit, who were present at certain very important miraculous events, such as the Mount of Transfiguration, which you can find in Matthew 17:1. And so a lot of people have looked and said, well, the reason he was around Jesus so much is because he was actually first cousins with Jesus. Apparently, John and James, through their mothers, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome, according to John 19:25, they were actually sisters. And so perhaps when Jesus was on the cross, this is why he made a point of telling John to take Mary into his home as his own mother. So he was providing for his mother even as he hung on the cross, and John was the one who took in Mary as his own mom. So he may have also been the youngest of the 12 apostles. He definitely outlived the rest. He lived to a very old age. He's the only one of the original 12 who died of natural causes. Obviously, Judas Iscariot by suicide, the other 10 by martyrdom. His dash, therefore, if you think of the tombstone analogy, was full of amazing stories. But what was his most famous attribute? In addition to being a very fiery personality, after Jesus' death, he also perhaps had a cause to be bitter. He experienced the loss of his brother as one of the first to die as a martyr, Acts 12:2. But John really emphasizes the one thing more than anything was his love. In fact, in the book of John, he frequently refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He records how Jesus lovingly humbled himself to the point of washing his disciples' feet, spending the most time of talking about how Jesus loved his disciples and taught them to love. And he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." That's John 13:34. So John was really interested in love. Listen to this passage from 1 John 4, 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He is someone who very well heard and understood Jesus' command to love, and he followed that very well. In fact, the book of 1 John by itself references the word love more often than the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke combined. And 1 John, by the way, is only 5 chapters long. So he really emphasizes it. If you look at 2 John, he talks about the command of love by following Christ's commandments. 3 John, very short book, Gaius, who was the recipient, who 3 John was addressed to, is addressed as one who is beloved. Even Revelation, which is not considered to be a really emotional book, it talks about how Jesus in Revelation 1:5 is one, him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. So what causes a passionate man known for his aggression, who has every right to be bitter, to become a man who is overflowing with love and compassion? And really, that can only be attributed to the lasting impact that Jesus had on his life. Now, it is important to note that John never lost the fire that he had to begin with. If you look at how Jesus impacts people, he keeps some of the greatest pieces of their personality. Never think that you are here to, you know, just change and be a completely different type of person. Jesus uses what you have. In fact, if you read the words, after telling the lady who received the epistle of 2 John to love by following Jesus' commands, he states rather bluntly, quote, "Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist," 2 John 1:7. So that's not tender sentiment right there. And shortly thereafter, he says, "Do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." And that's talking about false teachers. And so that was 2 John 1:10 through 11. So clearly, his call to love is not a call to, you know, grasp hands and sing kumbaya. He clearly has a fire, and he is clearly defending his faith, and he clearly defends those who follow Jesus against false teachers. But love is clearly above and beyond the mere sentiment. And so by the time that John died, he'd seen and experienced things that nobody else could claim. And he was the one who emphasized above all else love. Love is the reason. And for over 2,000 years, we still know John as the beloved disciple. So I don't know about you, but that seems to me to be a pretty good dash to stand for. So take a moment and study the word. Count how often the word love is used simply in the 3 chapters from 1 John 3 to 5. Just take a quick moment, read those 3 chapters. It's an amazing thing. And then to think about it, does the love John reference sound more like the feeling or the action? And why is that relevant to you today? So again, thank you so much for listening. We have one more month to go. I really hope that you're sticking around. If you haven't had a chance, go back and listen to any of the sections that you may have missed. And again, keep those comments coming in. I love hearing from you guys. Thanks so much for listening.